Our scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 818. That's page 818. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to the parable of what the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Father in heaven, we come before you as your sons and daughters. Lord, we've just had seeds scattered upon us. We pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're bringing out the heavy artillery in our series. We've talked the first 4 weeks about justification, the work of God in justifying his people through Jesus Christ. And the last two sermons, we talked about sin. And last week, we spoke of temptation, how temptation enters the mind, seeks to entice the heart, and then does everything it can to gain approval by the will. And now we come to God's word. God's word is the heavy artillery in terms of the means of grace. The primary means by which God distributes grace to his people is through the word of God. God's word. We have a coffee machine at our office. And sometimes I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a bit of a social coffee drinker. And occasionally I'll go over and get a cup of coffee and I'll pick up a cup and there's the coffee. The coffee's inside the urn and I've got to somehow get the coffee out of the urn and into the cup. Some of you are thinking, this guy needs help. But what happens is you simply go up to the urn, release the spigot, and the coffee pours into the cup. It's being dispensed. It's dispensed through the spigot into the cup. God dispenses his grace into our hearts through his word. That's why the word is primary to any church that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about our three-point outline this morning. First of all, the sower. Do you see what's happening? Is the word of God is falling on the souls of men and women. And so now, I just want you to think in terms of big picture here for a moment. The word of God has fallen on your hearts this morning. It's been sown. You see, the word of God is eternal, and the souls of men and women are everlasting. And God has called his people, through his word, to cast out seed that it would fall upon the souls of people who are going to live an everlasting life. And so our task as believers, one of our tasks as believers, is to spread God's seed, to bring the eternal word in contact with an everlasting soul, and to watch and see what happens. So first of all, the sower. God identifies himself as the sower. He's the one who slings the seed. Isn't it interesting how indiscriminate the sower is with his seed? God doesn't just distribute seed where he thinks it could produce a wonderful crop. He indiscriminately sows his seed. That's very encouraging, isn't it? We never know what God's seed is going to do in a person's heart. So God walks through the field and he distributes seed. Now, I want to encourage you and challenge you a bit. A disciple knows that they are to spread seed. A disciple knows that they are to spread the seed of God's word. So if you're not spreading the seed of God's word, there are a few options for you to ponder. Number one, you're simply not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do believe that the word disciple is synonymous with the word Christian. There are not different classes of belonging to Christ. A Christian is a disciple, and a disciple is a Christian. So, are you sowing God's seed? Are you spreading his word? You know, God, in his loving kindness, in his generosity, spread the seed of his word to us. Do you remember in the Old Testament when God went to Jonah? Who went to Nineveh? Say that three times fast, and you might say Nona once also. And he said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah went the opposite direction. He didn't obey. And yet we see in the Old Testament the heart of our loving Father, who once the truth of his word to be sown among all peoples. He's not selective in his sowing. Do you know, as you think about your profession, just for a moment, think about your profession. Now, this is a bit of a trick statement, because some of you are thinking of your profession in terms of what you do to earn a living. That's what's commonly thought of in our culture when we say a profession. Well, we also have a profession about Jesus Christ. And as we make profession about Jesus Christ, we spread his word. Do you know, recently I heard of a man who had to make a profession in court. It seems that he was driving down the road with a group of cars, and they were all traveling 75 miles an hour in a zone that was marked for 70 miles an hour. Now, of course, this is purely hypothetical and something I've heard on the street. And then this man had to go and make a profession in court. Of course, his defense, as the judge asked what happened, was simply to say that he was driving along with other vehicles going 75 miles an hour, and in an unjust manner, he's the only one who received the ticket. And the judge, who was not interested in any excuses or explanations, simply said, were you traveling at 75 miles an hour? And the man said, yes. And the judge said, guilty as charged. So the Lord asks us a simple question this morning. He simply says, Are you a sower of my seed? No explanations, no excuses are necessary. Simply, Christian, disciple, are you a sower of my seed? I have a dear friend here in this church I've known for years and years. And he told me a story of his kids one time. He said he gave his son a big bag of potato chips, said, go in and share those with your brother. So he went in to share them with his brother. And what he did is he walked in, opened the bag, and he gave his, out of this big bag of potato chips, he gave his brother a little handful. He said, here you go. And then he took the bag over and hid in the chair and ate the rest of them for himself. It kind of makes you wonder, did that little boy understand that if he were to just open the pantry, he would see that there were numerous bags of chips? He didn't need to hoard. His daddy had given him plenty that he could share with others. His daddy had given him plenty that he might share with others. The sower is God and his people. The second point of the sermon is the seed. What is the seed? Well, Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God. So there's no confusion here, although apparently some people were confused. They didn't understand this parable. Although to some of us who are tutored by the Holy Spirit, it seems rather clear. The seed is the word of God. Now, if you were to go into your garden and plant tomato seeds, and then you were to come back at the proper season and find carrots, you would be totally surprised. You would say, I planted seeds that were labeled tomato seeds, and carrots have sprouted up. You know, an unusual thing happened when I was in high school. Some of my associates decided to grow marijuana plants. And in Phoenix, Arizona, outside the back of one of these homes, were some marijuana plants. And if they were to go out there in the time of harvest and find tomatoes on their marijuana plants, they would be gravely disappointed. Or they might consider smoking something else. They're confused. If, brothers and sisters, if we want a spiritual crop, we must sow God's word. I don't know what you're telling your friends when you tell them about Jesus, but you must sow God's word if you expect a spiritual crop. It's interesting when we have an opportunity to travel, we'll go to different churches wherever we happen to be that weekend, and many of those churches read God's word, but they don't really talk about God's word. They don't explain God's word the way we're walking through God's word this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit joins himself to God's word in order to produce fruit in our lives. We are to sow the word of God. It's okay for us to spend time talking about the Rangers or the Cowboys or the weather or money. There's a lot of different things that it's okay for us to talk about. But as a disciple, we are called to be sowers of God's word. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you sowing God's word? Are you spreading it generously among all kinds of people in all kinds of situations? Because if you're not, please do not expect a spiritual crop. Do not expect that your friends will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ unless you tell them God's word. You know, you might pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like I could pray that the dishes in my sink would be cleaned. I could pray every morning for a week, dear Jesus, it's me again. I'm coming to you with an urgent request for the dishes in my sink. Lord, if you would be so kind as to send someone who could break into my home, not bother anything, but could simply wash those dishes, I would be ever grateful to you, Lord. Amen. You may pray for the souls of Dallas, but God has called us to not only pray for the souls of Dallas, but he's called us to sow the seed of his word. The third point of our sermon comes to the soils. Now, a number of you, as we think about these soils, are immediately wondering within which soil you live. We've got four soils. In reality, we have two soils. We have three examples of bad soil, and we have one example of good soil. So for those of you who are wondering whether you're a three or you're a four, it's a big deal whether you're a three or you're a four. You see, the farmer doesn't plant seed because he enjoys being out of doors with oxen. The farmer doesn't go out into the field and think, you know, I could simply stay at home and eat camel kebabs for the afternoon, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to sow seed today because I so enjoy the out of doors. Grace has a purpose. Grace has an agenda. God doesn't save us and then pat us on the back and say, enjoy your life until I return. In fact, he does say that, but he tells us how to enjoy our lives. He tells us to serve him. He tells us to worship him. He tells us to sow seed. Paul says in Philemon 1:6, it's my prayer, and this is a wonderful challenge for. He says he wants us to be active in sharing our faith so that we will have a full understanding of all the good things in Christ. Do you know that one of the benefits of presenting Christ to other people is that we begin to understand the gospel? One of the benefits of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to another person is that we begin to understand the fullness of the goodness that we have in Jesus Christ. Two soils. First, the bad soil. Three types. Number one, the path. Now, could you imagine going up to a worn, downtrodden, dry path and throwing seed on it? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? The seed falls, and Jesus says that Satan, the birds of the air, come and immediately take that seed away. There might be some of you seated in the congregation this morning who are path dwellers, and you've heard this seed, and it just is basically totally irrelevant to you. Makes no sense whatsoever to you. It's like watching a ball game you don't really care about. You can watch one ball game on a Saturday and be very, very, very excited about it. You can watch another ball game on a Saturday simply because you don't want to clean the garage. The second type of soil we found within the bad soils are called the rocky or the shallow soil. The seed falls on this soil, and the fruit comes up quickly, but the sun comes out, scorches it, and withers it. Now, that's a bit metaphorical. Listen to the explanation Jesus gives for seed that becomes a plant, but then withers. He says this: they wilt because of the persecution they receive for God's word. They wilt because of the persecution they receive for God's word. Let's, for instance, take a child who goes to camp. They're 15 years old, they go off to a wonderful summer camp, and they have a wonderful dynamic relationship with the Lord for those 2 weeks, supposedly. And then they come back, and as they re-enter the stream of their life, they totally forsake the Lord, they turn their back on the Lord, and they begin to pursue what their non-believing friends are pursuing. I would not want to give that person any encouragement that they are a vibrant Christian. I would say to them, you had an unusual 2-week experience, and I'm glad you had a wonderful experience at camp. But Jesus teaches that if you wilt because of the persecution of the word, he receives the word with joy, but he has no root, and therefore does not last. It's not enough to simply say, when I was 8, I prayed to receive Christ. Jesus chose us that we might bear fruit and that we might bear fruit that lasts. The third type of bad soil is the thorny soil. This is the person who hears but is choked to death. Now, when we used to live in Carolina, there was a plant called kudzu. I don't know if you're familiar with kudzu. Some of you might be, but it grows on everything that's not moving. It covers mountainsides, it fills ravines, it goes up trees, it climbs fences, it engulfs houses. It's kudzu. It's a vine that attaches itself to a plant. And so there are some who grow up in bad soil who have the plant choked out by the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. To choke a plant in North Dallas with the deceitfulness of wealth is like shooting ducks out of a barrel. The temptation for us to have our very lives choked out of us by the deceitfulness of wealth. If you're seated in this sanctuary and you do not think that you struggle with the deceitfulness of wealth, then the deceitfulness of wealth has already won the battle. The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth have in many ways choked out the vibrancy of Christ in North Dallas. It's a culturally accepted thing to be a non-fruit-bearing person who calls themselves a Christian. The fourth soil is the good soil. It's the only soil. It's the only soil that does one thing. Do you know what good soil does? You only need to remember one thing about good soil. One thing about good soil. Good soil, one thing. You ready for it? One thing. Good soil produces a crop. Period. Good soil is fruitful, which is synonymous with produces a good crop. So I ask you to sit, little plants of God, and I ask you to look at the fruit of your life. Jesus says, by their fruit you shall know them. Tim, are you saying in a not so subtle way that it's possible for me to be sitting here in this church, listening to God's word week after week, and to not be a Christian? And I would say unequivocally, yes. In fact, I would say it's likely. You might say likely. Jesus himself said that it's more difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Because we are so self-sufficient and hardwired to be self-justicators that it's impossible for us not to seek to self-justify and to explain away the sin of our life while we sit in the midst of the light of God's word and produce no measurable fruit. You will be evaluated by your crop. The farmer doesn't plant crops because he doesn't have anything else to do that day. I would suggest to you that if you were a farmer and you took the time to plant a field, that come harvest time, you would look for a crop. I think that would be normal. If you couldn't find a crop, you would probably ask yourself a couple questions. Have I planted in bad soil or have I used bad seed? I ask you those two questions. Now, I would like to spend the remainder of our moments on application. How should a person of God respond to a sermon like this? Let him who has ears hear. First of all, overseed. Overseed your heart with God's word. You should take every opportunity to sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word. Do you know the best example I've ever seen in my entire life of overseeding took place last Wednesday night in this sanctuary as I sat right there and Sinclair Ferguson explained the gospel from the Old Testament. He so overseeded my frail heart that the seed was stacked up on top. He could have stopped 20 minutes into his deal. I didn't have the heart to say, Sinclair, shut her down, babe. We're full. He just kept throwing seed. Just kept throwing seed. Threw it from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. He quoted it. He read it. He memorized it. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to see God's seed thrown on the hearts of his people. I would encourage you to sit under the preaching of God's word on Wednesday night. I would encourage you to overseed. Another way I want to encourage you to overseed is to read the scripture every day. I want to encourage you to go through the one-year Bible and take a broad perspective view of the entire scripture. And then I want to encourage you to overseed by going deep into God's word. I want to encourage you to outline all 66 books of the Bible in the next 5 or 6 years. Do one book a month and you'll have it. Outline every book of the Bible. And I want to encourage you to master 5 books of the Bible. Pick a couple books from the Old Testament and 2 or 3 books from the New Testament and master those books. Know their content forward and backward. Because as we seek to master God's word, do you know what happens? His word masters us. His word masters us. So the first step in response to this message is to overseed. The second step in responding to this message is embrace fertilizer. Fertilizer is very good for plants. We spend a lot of our time and emotional energy avoiding fertilizer. Fertilizer softens the soil of your soul. Fertilizer has a way of simultaneously strengthening and softening the soul. When we're in the midst of persecution for the Word of God, I want to encourage you to stand and to stand tall and to stand strongly in the midst of persecution for God's Word. Because do you know what happens? First of all, you begin to see the power and truth of God's Word. Not necessarily for the people to whom you've spoken, but for you. When is the last time the Holy Spirit used God's word to strengthen your soul in the midst of a very difficult situation? Now, I'm not encouraging you to go find difficult situations, but I am encouraging you to embrace them. Because God in his wisdom uses the fertilizer of troubles and persecution to soften our souls and to make his word effective. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to weed. Do some weeding in your life. Now, there's a new invention that has made weeding so much easier. It's called a weed eater. I remember when I used to have a yard that I liked the weeds to grow because they were green, and if you cut them nicely from a distance, it looked like you had a nice yard. And so you would see this little patch of weeds, and what I found you could do is rather than pulling the weeds, which required hard work, you could simply buy yourself a $79 weed eater. Fill it up with some gas or plug it into some current and start that baby up, and you could go out and you could make a big area of weeds look fairly trimmed. They look nice. The problem with trimming weeds is that they grow back stronger. In fact, if you want a plant to grow back stronger, prune it. So pruning your weeds is not the same thing as weeding. Weeding requires that we get down on our knees. You might let your mind run back to last week's message about how to deal with temptation. That we get down on our knees and we dig down to pull the roots of the weeds out of our life through prayer, through honest conversation with God and others. You see, what happens is many of us, when we confess our sin, we're just weed eating the top of the sin. We're just kind of knocking the upper leaf off. Well, let's just knock that off. Jesus, so sorry I did that. I love to sin. You love to forgive. We were a perfect match made in heaven. Choo! We must weed our lives. When you are in the middle of anxiety, when you are scared, I want you to stop at that moment. And I want you to say, Lord, I'm anxious and I'm scared and I am tempted to sin. Help me understand the terrain of my heart at this moment, Lord. Why do I want to lie to this person instead of tell them the truth? Why do I want to make myself look better to this person rather than letting them know I'm a poor sinner saved by grace? What is it, Lord? Why am I hardwired this way? What am I trying to accomplish? You see what happens when you do weeding? You don't just trim them off so they look good. You know, some people, if you came to our church, you would think we were having church at Neiman Marcus. We dress nicely. We were all trimmed. We look nice. Well, y'all, we're all sinners. And we can dress nicely. And we can watch the way we use our words. But we desperately need a Savior. Don't just weed eat your sins. Fall to your knees and do the hard work of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me close with this. I would like you to make a to-don't list. I know a lot of us are making to-do lists right now. Well, Tinsley, you just gave me three to-dos. Well, could I encourage you to make a to-don't list? In prayer, sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do, but I know what I'm to-don't. Lord, I want to give you these don'ts in my life. The don'ts that I do when I'm afraid, or when I'm lonely, or when I'm anxious, or when I'm worried. Lord, I don't want to do that any longer because it reveals that I'm not trusting in you and your word. So before you make a to-do list, make a to-don't list and stop doing your don'ts and sit in the midst of your anxieties and fears with your Savior. And do you know what He will do? He will meet you there. And He will give you a new to-do list. And His to-do list will include overseeding with His word. Little Lamb of God, a harvest will come one day. When He returns, He will harvest. To him who has ears to hear, may he hear.